10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Beware of your bearded pets. They could kill you.
There's an old guy who's on the air, and they call him Sterling. The boss has hired him on a dare, and they call him Sterling. Kind of hip, kind of odd,
Sterling.
Kind of smart, kind of strange,
Sterling.
A different show that's here to stay, and they call it Sterling.
Sterling every damn night.
8 minutes past the hour, Sterling every damn night. 6-7.
Monday, Monday, so good to me. Damon, it was all I hoped it would be.
Try to keep up. I'll tell you why the president didn't go to the climate stupid meeting.
Thank you for being here.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney, and I regret it's become political instead of scientific. But the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
though,
is when you see...
I know we're not, because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN. But I'm happy that I got on the air and had a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody.
Viewers, singular.
There is no global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree... Do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis. They don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, You got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you on
the facts.
The
truth.
I'll simply say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air.
Speaking of science... Deadly salmonella outbreak linked to pets. What? Yes, there's a deadly salmonella outbreak, but it's linked to pets. The dog? The cat that you sleep with every night because you don't actually have a lover? No. The CDC and public health officials in several states are investigating a multi-state outbreak of salmonella infections linked to pet bearded dragons. Bearded dragons and other reptiles can carry salmonella germs that can spread to you and make you sick. Always take steps to stay healthy around your pet bearded dragon. What are the steps I'm supposed to take to stay safe around my pet bearded dragon? The CDC and public health officials in several states are collecting different types of data to investigate the multi-break salmonella infections. It's a specific type. It's Coathom. But there's more. As of November, a total of 17 people infected with the outbreak of salmonella Coathom were reported from 11 states. Illnesses started on, the true number of sick people in an outbreak is likely much higher than the number reported. And the outbreak may not be limited to states with known illnesses. This is because many people recover without medical care and are not tested for salmonella. In addition, recent illnesses may not yet be recorded, as it usually takes 3 to 4 weeks to determine. So this Thanksgiving, if you go to a relative, some loser relative that has a bearded dragon, think about the relatives who have bearded dragons as opposed to Persian kitties. Or border collies. The only kind of dog I would want. Border collie. And cats. And I want a Maine Coon. My next cat has to be a Maine Coon. I want a Maine Coon. They're not going to get salmonella. What's going to get salmonella? A bearded dragon. Who has a bearded dragon? What, you can take that to bed? You're going to cuddle with it when you watch it? TV? No. Well, what kind of person has a bearded dragon and then is close enough with it to get salmonella? And this is a lot of attention from the CDC on 17 cases. Only 17 cases. But as a professional broadcaster, as opposed to all the clowns on the other stations who are pre-recorded, they're not live. I'm live. They're not live, therefore they are clowns. They're irresponsible broadcasters. Soon I will start naming them. Who's this?
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
Win a Sterling prize package. Call 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I don't want to get one email on Monday that says, "It rang and rang, and nobody answered it." Every damn Monday, I get emails saying, "It rang and rang, and nobody answered." I'm willing to bet you dialed it wrong because it's late in the evening, and you've been trying out that newfangled thing, a dirty martini. What the hell is that? What is a dirty martini? Why am I so uncool that I have no idea what that is? And, oh, parenthetically, I wouldn't drink it even if I did know. But this is a little late. You might misdial 855-839-1210. Happy to talk to you. But I'd like you to tell me what this is, who this is, and you could win a Sterling prize package. You want to know what's in it? Okay. A JB Bakery goodie. Best baked goods you could imagine. JB Bakery goodie. A copy of my wife's book, Self-Serving. It's called Organize Your Way. A kazoo.
Tap, 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 tap.
a kazoo, and a spaced-out radio thermos. It's a really nice thermos. It's the best thermos I've ever seen, actually. I'm surprised how nice it is.
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, and then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
There you go. Who is that? My name is Walter M. Sterling, and I work here every damn night, six nights a week, except Saturday. If you don't have my show during the week, you can get it easily on the Odyssey app. I'd spell it, but I'll be exhausted by the time I spell it every time during the show. I can't begin to tell you. We do a different show. I make no apologies for it. This is our 11th year. And the reason it's on the air is because of the initiative of two broadcasters, Chris Olivero and Mike McVeigh, who did a cram down and said to the stations they work with, you have to take this show. But what's weird is when both of them lost all of their power in their respective companies years ago, all the stations kept it. They all kept it. And then we added big stations like WGAN in Maine, and we have weather for WGAN. We have constant weather updates for WGAN where they're looking for, what is it, 5 to 7 inches or 5 to 7 feet of snow in Maine? Holy crow. Walter M. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Holiday events, with or without the kids?
My preference, always with.
But some of the wine moms disagree. We'll talk about it coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
From associate to CEO. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night. Protect our girls. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out about the pantless car thief who hid in a porta potty after being pursued by police. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
More nonsense. Sterling Every Damn Night.
855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. For your opportunity, your golden opportunity to win a Sterling prize package, if you can identify who this is.
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, and then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
Yes, we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Is that you?
W2RE, this is W6RRR. Good evening, Ray. You're 5'9 here in Washington. The White House itself, over.
W6RRR, W2RE.
About an hour before the show, I realized that I was out of coffee. I also realized that I'm here alone. I broadcast from the laundry room. Tonight we're in the laundry room, but usually I have a child of driver license age. Or a wife, maybe, God forbid, that I could say, hey, could you do me a favor and go to the store and get a pound of coffee? Because I'm not doing this show for 3 hours without coffee. It's bad enough. The show sucks enough without me not having coffee. But I'm here with my 13-year-old and no wife, who would view it as an enormous favor. Just, oh, a freaking enormous favor to get out from watching a British mystery show and going to the store and get me coffee. I mean, that would just be horrible.
So 100,000 women went on strike today in Iceland to demand gender equality. The entire population is 370,000. So over 25% of the population went on strike. And I have some crazy news for you. The economy did not come to a stop and it continued as normal. The only memo I got was that HR departments were getting no complaints for the 24 hours that the women were on strike. And men were writing that they were really sorry women didn't get gender equality. But I heard one CEO said it was nice to finally get some done, end quote.
And I didn't want to go far because I'm very, very paranoid an hour or two before air that if I were to leave and get in an accident, and then there'd be trouble. If I couldn't start the show, then there'd be trouble. there'd be 800 phone calls about what are we doing? What are we doing? So I'm not late, and I'm not going to be in an accident. But I needed coffee. The closest store, listen carefully, the closest store was a 7-Eleven. You too, that's the closest store, right? All right, the closest store is a 7-Eleven because I didn't think. There was another store that was closer, but I didn't think. I go to the 7-Eleven with the 13-year-old. She's happy to go because I bribe her. I say, when we get there, you can get a Reese's peanut butter cup. Fine, that'll close any deal with the 13-year-old. We get in the car, we go. Once we get there, I say, where is the coffee? I need a pound of coffee. I'm in a 7-Eleven. They sell a lot of coffee. And I know that once I had bought a pound of coffee there that was surprisingly good. I was really impressed. I don't think of it as the first go-to for coffee. I think of, you may think of someplace fancy. You may think of some local place. What do they call them? A local roaster. You may go to some local roaster, somebody who hand stamps the bags, the brown paper bags. They take one of those hand stamps like you used in second grade, and it says, ye old coffee man, ye old coffee roaster. And it shows a guy in an apron in front of a ye old roaster. And it has a black ink for coffee for normal people and an orange ink for decaf, bitter brown water. But ye old, no, I'm not near any ye old coffee. I'm near a 7-Eleven. I go into the 7-Eleven, and I'm looking around for a bag of ground coffee to take home and make the coffee at home. Where's the ground coffee? We no sell the brown. What? You must. I've bought it here before. No, no. And then one comes from out from behind the counter and points to this empty slot in the shelf where the pound bags of 7-Eleven coffee should be, but they're not there. I said, go to the back. You're 7-Eleven. You must have coffee. You must have it. They go, no, we have no coffee. You have no more coffee. I said, well, you made coffee. What'd you make the coffee with? Now we're getting tricky, boy. Let me tell you, I want the industrial packaging for the coffee because I can't leave there without coffee because I have to do this incredible show for you, you know, and I don't want to show you disrespect.
Don't disrespect the pizza parlor.
They come out with one of these packages to go in an industrial dispenser machine for coffee. I say, fine, I'll take that. I figure I can tear it open at home and make it. I have no idea what they charge me for it. I should look and see what they charge me for it. But I was furious. I was like, "What? How is it possible that you're 7-Eleven and you don't have coffee? How is that possible in America? Maybe in one of those wacky Japanese 7-Elevens where they have 400 different kinds of ramen. We're supposed to get excited about all the different kind of ramen. And no matter what kind of ramen you get, whether it's the kind with the raw egg or without the raw egg, with the seasoning, without, it always tastes the same, but it always looks fascinating. And they have pink iced tea, which you and I call strawberry iced tea. But this is not a Japanese 7-Eleven. This is an American 7-Eleven. Where's the ground coffee? They didn't have any. I was freaking furious. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Boom, boom, Hollywood. Sterling every damn night.
All right, Walter M. Sterling with Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood. I'm exhausted, Mateus. I've been on for 20 minutes, and I'm already exhausted because of the show that's taking place off the air. Have you ever had an experience like that?
Well, I did say sometimes it's possible, sure.
Oh, my God. What's the name of this movie that you're very excited about?
Well, not only am I excited, it seems to be the box office champion this week, coming in at number one. It's Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Wait a second. I asked for audio for this. I actually asked for audio to support your point of view. And I'll bet you okay. Any amount of money that I didn't get that either. I'll bet you it's a zero for zero for me since the beginning of the show that everything that should be easy for me, what am I, Mateus? The host. everything that should be second nature for me, the host has not been available. Starting with an hour before I went on the air, where I went to 7-Eleven to get coffee.
Well,
and at the 7-Eleven, where you would go to get ground coffee, you'd assume they had bags of ground coffee at a 7-Eleven. There was none. There was a hole in the shelf where it was supposed to be, and staff saying, "We do not carry, we do not carry." I say, "Yes, you do. I bought it here before." "No, we don't." And then they started to look around the 7-Eleven feverishly. And, "Oh, it goes here." And there was the hole in the shelving where it should have been. And it wasn't there. And I made them give me one of the packs they need, they use for their machines to make coffee. I said, "What'd you make this coffee with?" We cannot sell you that. I said, "You can sell me that." And it was just coffee in a industrial machine packaging. I can't imagine what they charged me for that. But could you imagine a 7-Eleven with no coffee? That's like a 7-Eleven with no milk.
But more importantly, Walter, did they have the Reese's Pieces for your 13-year-old daughter?
Well, that's a very good question. She bought something sinister that I did not know existed. She bought a new candy that was a freeze-dried candy. It's a freeze-dried of a popular candy. I forget the name of the candy. A normal candy, you've heard about it for years, and some genius figured, well, what would happen if we freeze-dried this? And so they took this, the Swiss
Snickers?
Candy. What?
Oh, not a Snickers.
No, a pop-in-your-mouth little hand, anyway, it was incredibly good. So now I have
great.
A new problem. Now I have a new problem. Now, who's in this movie, and what's this movie about? And thank God you finally picked a popular movie.
Well, in the great scale of popularity, it's number one, but it only made $21 million this weekend, which is not a lot of money in Hollywood scale. But the movie industry's been tanking so badly recently, they're pretty excited about $21 million since Friday. It eclipsed The Running Man, which is running in second place, and Predator Badlands, which is just behind that. Anyway, this is Now You See Me, Now You Don't. It's the third film in a series which began in 2013 with a movie called Now You See Me, in which the horsemen, who are skilled magicians, get involved with high-stakes adventure. Now, in this latest one, there are three new young illusionists. June is played by Ariana Greenblatt. Do you know that name? She's a young girl that used to be on the Disney Channel. She later appeared in Barbie. I guess she was known for the Disney Channel series Stuck in the Middle from 2016. Anyway, she's now matured, and she's a very attractive young lady. Also in this picture are Charlie, played by Justice Smith, and Bosco, played by Dominic Sessa. They're not as well known as the original horsemen from the first movie. They're lured out of retirement to deal with the nefarious Veronica Vandenberg. She's played by Rosamund Pike, a beautiful woman who is the head of a large corporation from multi-generational wealth, whose fortune came from diamond mines. Now returning, the stars that are returning are Jesse Eisenberg as J. Daniel Atlas, Woody Harrelson as Merrick McKinney, Dave Franco as Jack Wilder, Ilsa Fisher as Henley Reeves, and Morgan Freeman as Thaddeus Bradley. So it's just as stylish as the others in the series. But, Walter, I don't think it's as good as the earlier two. Rosamund Pike, I mean, she's charming as a villainess. But in truth, Now You See Me, Now You Don't tries to trick us, because these are all magicians. But we've seen this trick before. So the movie is Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
The first one was fantastic. You're right. It was a great movie, and it was under-discussed. It was a much better movie than the buzz around it, or as much as it grossed. I'm like, this is, what more would you want from a movie than what that offered? What was the first one called? Now You See It, right? Just plain? Now You See It, Now You Don't?
Now You See Me, yeah. Just Now You See Me.
Absolutely brilliant. It's like the first Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
We didn't need a second and third Pitch Perfect, except to see Anna Kendrick and Brittany Snow committing lesbianism, sort of.
Yes, there's none of that here, but
I urge Midnight Misfits to see this movie. This is great. It's a great cast. It is a brilliant idea, and it's a movie. It could not possibly exist in any other medium. There's no book about this. You've got to see it. It's just clever and grown up, and no special effects. Sort of. I had a fantastic time. Tell us the name of the movie again, Mateus.
Now You See Me, Now You Don't is the third one. The first one, of course, that you like so much. Now You See Me is the first one in the series back in 2013.
I have to tell you, tonight it's therapeutic to hear your voice, the voice of competence, skill, calm. Very impressive, and I thank you. I thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn Sunday. Thank you, Mateus. Walter M. Sterling at 10:43 on the East Coast. And we're playing a game, and the game is, can you identify who this is? Now, I have to undo this. You wouldn't believe what I have to do this show. It's the amount of mouse work that's involved is terrifying. Where did that go? Oh, here.
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, and then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
Joe, in Imperial, Missouri, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Sunday. Who's that?
Hello.
Hello, Joe.
How you doing?
Joe, you didn't turn down your radio, did you?
1 second. How's that?
I don't know, Joe. I know you should have been told while you were on hold. I know you should have been told.
Can you hear me okay now?
I heard you fine before. You just didn't hear me.
Okay. Hello. How you doing?
Joe, do you like this show? Are you having a good time?
I am, to be honest. It's been a minute since I flipped the radio on, and I flipped it on, and here I am, and I'm enjoying it.
Which station are you listening to it on, KMBZ or KMOX?
104.1.
KMBZ. That is a great radio station, a freaking great radio station. Joe, who do you think that is for the Sterling Prize Package?
I'm sorry?
Who do you think that is for the to win the Sterling Prize Package? Who do you think this
Every
is?
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
Who is that?
Audrey Hepburn.
It is not Audrey Hepburn, but I am grateful that you called in. I'm grateful that you played Sterling Every Damn Sunday at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Who is this? You win the Sterling Prize Package.
Every day is the same. We watch a movie, preferably a Spielberg film, find the appropriate life correlation, then we pat ourselves on the back for being so clever.
You win a kazoo. Now think a minute. Have any of these morning zoos ever offered you a kazoo? No. A spaced-out radio thermos, which are really good, surprisingly good. A J.B. Bakery gift package. Great stuff. Exactly what your doctor says don't take. And a copy of my wife's book, Organize Your Way, which is self-promotion. It's the least I can do for her, because she does the least she can do for me. Walter M. Sterling, Every Damn Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney. Holiday events, with or without the kids.
My preference, always with.
But some of the wine moms disagree. We'll talk about it coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
From associate to CEO. Details later. The people of Walmart, Sterling Every Damn Night. Protect our girls. Details later. Strippers on the loose, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, find out about the pantless car thief who hid in a porta potty after being pursued by police. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling Every Damn Night.
A gold star lesbian is a lesbian who's also a pleasure to have in class.
Public Sterling Radio, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Oh, look at you. It's 10:51 on the East Coast. Walter M. Sterling, Every Damn Sunday. You realize I've been doing this for 11 years? I have been doing this for 11 years. And unlike other hosts, for the first 8 years, I never missed a show. 8 years straight, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, I did every show live. What an embarrassment that other hosts think that it's okay to pre-record it or to do the worst thing in the history of man, which is a best of. A best of. What's becoming amazing, and I have friends who just came in from out of town, from out of the country. They came in for a couple weeks from out of the country because they want to experience Thanksgiving in America, which they should, and they want to experience the holidays at this time of year. And after a couple days out shopping, they came in and they were from strange countries like France. I don't know if you heard of that, France. They come in and they say, what is with this tipping? What is the tipping? And they never have seen anything like it. And now it's at the point where I have never seen anything like it either. I get Walmart deliveries of food. And then finally I did the math and I realized that if I tip the Walmart delivery guy, I'm now at right on absolute retail pricing. I'm not saving a penny. If I give that delivery guy $10, that'll wipe out all of my nickel and dime savings on everything else. And the trick with Walmart, as you know, you have to pay attention. There are some things that Walmart sells that are super cheap, all cereals. Any cold cereal, you're not going to find it cheaper. Plus, they have sizes that other people don't have, like super uber size. They have super uber size. Nobody else has super uber size. It requires two people to carry it up the back steps, but you're not going to find it anyplace else, and it's $2.80. But you got to be careful, because not everything that they have is cheapest. Some things are stunningly cheapest, like a wedge of Fontina cheese that at any other supermarket would be $8. It's $4 at Walmart. Same cheese. Although my supermarket friends say, look at the expiration dates. Pay attention to the expiration dates. I'm like, oh, okay. What else have I found is cheapest at Walmart? English muffins, bagels. Oh, and Philadelphia brand cream cheese. Two of those bars for $4 at any other supermarket would be 10. But you have to watch. The soda's not always cheapest. The milk, you're not going to believe it. Milk is not cheapest at Walmart. These are things that I have to pay attention to. Whatever savings there are, if I give that delivery guy a $10 tip or even a $5 tip, my savings is wiped out. Okay, put that aside. Guy gathers up food for me, puts it in their car, brings it to my home, probably deserves a tip. But when I go through a drive-thru, Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru, Starbucks drive-thru, there is no way in hell I should have to pay a tip. They're not doing anything. There's another person there who's made the drink. They're just handing it to me. They're running the register and handing it to me. Now, I'm conflicted because I have a daughter who does work at Starbucks. And I expect you to give her enormous tips. But other than my daughter, I don't expect any of these people to get enormous tips. It's crazy. Everything now, the minute we started to have to smack our phone on a screen and then click twice to purchase, all of a sudden, there's another line and it says, how much is the tip? 5, 10, 25, 35%. And if I want to skip it, it won't let me. I could get around it with a custom tip, right? If I put in zero in the custom tip, you know what it'll do? It'll say invalid entry. If I say zero is the tip on one of those screens, it'll say invalid entry. What I'm forced then to do is hit decimal point 01. Which is insulting to the person, but I don't think I should be tipping for not sitting down at a table. If I have to sit down at a table or I get a delivery to my door, then I should tip. But my friends from other countries say, how much is this? I say, well, it used to be 15% if I sat down at the table, but now we're looking at 20%. What? They're furious because in their culture, in France, England, Italy, if I tip a waiter, it's an insult. Their job is to do good service. They don't need to be bribed to do good service in other countries. That's what they do. That's how I feel. There should be no tipping unless I'm sitting down or it's delivered to my door. How do you feel? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's a live radio show. We can talk. We can talk to each other. 855-839-1210, Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
My Roman Empire is Sydney Sweeney's breasts.
Stealing every damn night. Oh, yeah!
Do you guys hear me? Do you have Kelly Orchard ready? On the rundown, it says Kelly Orchard. Is she ready? Gentlemen, either of you, you're calling her now. You didn't call her until I said, is she ready, right? Right. Hi, Walter M. Sterling, 1107 on the East Coast, 807 on the West Coast, Sterling every damn Sunday night. A joy, an honor, a thrill to be here with you. And then I have secret news for you. Secret news that is not generally available. Are you ready for this? KMOX, KMBZ, WGAN. When this show is over, I am then going to be live on WABC and the Red Apple Network in New York at 1 a.m. And they said to me, could you do 3 to 5 tonight? And they asked me at 4 this afternoon. Yeah, thanks, guys. And it was ready for this afternoon. And I said, yeah, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, if I do a show for them at 3 this morning and I don't complain, then they'll owe me. But then they sent me another note saying, can you actually start at 1? I'm like, you want me to be on the air from 1 till 5 with an hour notice? Is that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, okay, you're going to owe me big. You're going to owe me big. 8 minutes, 9 minutes past the hour. Kelly Orchard. Kelly Orchard, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday. Hi.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here, Walter.
Why? You haven't heard the show. You don't know me. Why would you be happy to be here?
Well, I do know you, and I've been listening to the show, and I'm just, you know, it's Sunday night, and, you know, I'm happy to be on the radio.
Kelly Orchard has delved into a subject which is like blazing on the culture of our country, blazing the landscape of our country. There's a new disease among teenage girls. It's called panic attacks. And right. When you were a teenager in the 40s, there were no panic attacks. There were people who got a little nervous about some things, and then their mother or their father hugged them, or they were sent to church to calm down. There were no panic attacks. Today, any teenage girl you meet will tell you a story about having had a panic attack. I had one panic attack in my life, and therefore I take it seriously when my kids say that they have a panic attack. Get this, Kelly. I had a panic attack. Get to where I had it. I was on I'm not bragging, I didn't pay for it. I was on a 747 in first class flying from Sydney, Australia to Los Angeles. It was the middle of the night, the middle of the ocean, the middle of the flight, middle. And I had a panic attack. There was no provocation for it. Before, there was no provocation for it after, but I was in the middle of every dimension of my life at that moment. And I had a panic attack. And the way I got out of it was I was traveling with a business colleague. Business colleague was over there in another seat. And I looked at him, and I couldn't move. I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. And I looked at him, and I started talking about business. Hardcore task subjects, business. And that got me out of it. If I had talked to him about anything that was speculative or any really interesting ideas or any fiction, I don't think it would have worked. How prevalent are panic attacks among young women today?
Well, I think that they're pretty, you know, based on my psychotherapy practice, they're pretty common. And, you know, the causes of it, the symptoms of it can manifest differently in everyone. I think that, honestly, I think that social media and just the state of the world right now is a big predictor and cause of panic attacks. You know, fear is obviously the topic that I talk about most is, you know, we're afraid of a lot of things, and panic and anxiety come from the fear of the unknown. You know, so we panic at things we're not familiar with.
Now, Kelly Orchard, the name of that book, what's the name of that book?
My newest book is called Flipping the Format on the Fear of Failure.
Let me say it slowly here because it's radio. Okay. It's not TV. Right. There's no lower third. Flipping the Format on what?
On the Fear of Failure.
Flipping the Format on the Fear of Failure. The Fear of Failure. There has always been fear of the unknown. There's always been fear of failure. Why is it different now?
I don't know if it's necessarily different now. I think that there's just a more awareness of it. You know, you mentioned like in the 40s, you know, it's such a different culture now, isn't it? Wasn't it in the 40s? You know, I think that women were mostly at homes, you know, stay-at-home moms raising their kids. Now you have a lot of, you know, whether you have single parents or you have working, you know, two parents working in the household, which creates a lot of fear and anxiety in the household and the kids. Society is just completely different. I think, though, that the reason it seems more prevalent, probably because of, you know, social media, people are putting it out there, you know, and I think that it's also sort of trendy, you know, to be having panic attacks and sometimes even seeing a therapist. I've kind of noticed that in my practice.
Then if it's trendy, I think it'd be very helpful for you, as juvenile as this may seem for somebody who's as professional and knowledgeable as you, but maybe you need to tell me how you would define a panic attack. Define a panic attack.
Okay, well, panic attack is anxiety manifesting itself in physical symptoms. And sometimes it can actually appear as if it's a heart issue, heart attack. A panic attack could cause shortness of breath, shaky breath, even dizziness, or, you know, like visual issues, hallucinations, hearing things. It really depends on how significant it is, how your manifestation or how your symptoms will manifest.
And if I have a kid who has a panic attack, what's the smartest thing for a parent or an adult or a friend nearby to do? You see a kid having a panic attack. Gee, it might be a heart attack. I don't know. What's the most constructive thing a friend, colleague, relative can do?
Well, you know, what you said that you did when you were on the airplane and you started talking to your colleague about tactical tasks that needed to be done, that was a really good way for you to ground yourself, to get your brain focused on the present, what's going on right now. A lot of times what anxiety is that fear, like I said earlier, that fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, of what might happen. So as a parent, when you see your child having some sort of a panic attack, you know, like get close to their face, you know, like you care, showing them, even you could even hold on to their shoulders and assure them, but have them do some grounding techniques like what you did on the airplane. And obviously sometimes it's, you know, like name five things that you can see right now, you know, and have them look around the room and you can say, I see white paper towels. I see a water bottle. I see a fan. And then that helps to get your brain reset so that you're present in the moment. And then have them breathe, you know, take a breath.
Kelly Orchard has Kelly Orchard is a an expert on what would you call it? You're more than a therapist. What are you?
Well, I am a licensed psychotherapist.
Psychotherapist. Psychotherapist. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, licensed marriage and family therapist. That is what my license is, and it says. So psychotherapist, and I specialize in depression and anxiety. I'm a grief specialist, and I use cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, heart math, positive psychology, and neuroscience to help give my clients tools for coping and hopefully improving their lives.
But the suggestion you just made about identifying things in the room, something that simple can help somebody get over a panic attack. That's really good, helpful information. Now, you're a marriage and family counselor, marriage counselor. When people come to you for marital advice, is there a theme these here days? Is there a trend about the trouble in marriages? When two people come to you and say, this is the trouble in our marriage, do you find an amazing consistency in what the troubles are?
Well, you know, in the world of psychotherapy and marriage counseling, there's always three things that a couple will fight about: money, sex, and kids, right? Those are the three topics: money, sex, and kids. But what I find is usually it's a lack of communication. And so learning how to communicate, even to communicate differently, you know, if you already feel that you're communicating and you're telling your partner what you want, you might be doing it in a way that triggers them to be defensive. So communication and learning how to communicate is usually the first thing that I notice is what's lacking in the relationship.
Now, is that among newly married or veteran marries?
I would say all, you know, like when I talk to couples who have been married for quite some time, we talk about habits that we've gotten into in the course of the marriage. You know, this is a habit that you guys, a habit of lack of communication that you guys have developed over time. With new couples, it would be, you know, let's try to get this communication thing happening sooner than later. So, but it usually it does boil down to a lack of communication and learning how to communicate your needs, your wants, your desires, your goals, you know, and then there's always compromise.
Oh, God, no. We never argue about sex, kids, or money. We argue about television. I'm not going to watch those British detective shows where the highest crime areas in the world are British seaside towns. How is it possible that seaside towns of 1,800 people have the highest crime rates in the world? Terrible shows. This is Kelly Orchard. What's the name of your book, Kelly?
Flipping the Format on the Fear of Failure.
All right, you need to come back on Sterling every damn Sunday and talk more about marriage. And next time you're on, I'm going to ask you to take phone calls from Midnight Misfits and maybe help some people directly, because nobody listening to the radio at this time has a good marriage.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a challenge. Challenge accepted. I would love to come on your show.
Kelly Orchard, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much. You're the first person on the show, first featured person on the show to have been to college. Thank you for being on the show. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
A lot of times, people take international events and personalize it and blame other people. That may or may not be a part of the issue. Okay, case in point, Seattle, Washington, strip club, lady up there dancing, and a feller after midnight. Probably had a couple of pops in him. His name is Samuel Benson Cooney. He's 34 and probably an Irish guy. He made threats to burn down a strip club, put a fake Molotov cocktail out in front of it. Yeah, and made anti-Semitic slurs at a dancer. You see, what bothered Mr. Cooney was, well, one of the dancers looked like she could be Jewish. Oy vey. The suspect is in custody, according to the Seattle Police Department. And apparently, Mr. Cooney said he intended to make a water bottle look like a Molotov cocktail.
thinking it would be quote-unquote funny. He said he left it outside the strip club as he waited for officers to find the bottle, which they later did. Cooney told the detaining officer that he aimed to cleanse the world of pedophiles. And there you go. I think that's great. And apparently not high on the Jews either. Apparently used a anti-Jewish slur and told the exotic dancer she was only after his money and said Mazel Tov and signed the receipt with a swastika. Yeah, burn the place down, he said. Burn the place down, not by me, but by my Nazi friends. Okay, here's the deal. Our dancers deserve to be safe. Keep our girls safe. There's no need for this. This lady's up there just shaking what the good Lord gave her, trying to make an honest living by tantalizing and entertaining very nice but lonely men, many of them and most of them being married. Hey, wives, figure that one out, huh? From the champagne room, wearing a Star of David, I'm Velo Hool, strippers on the loose, Sterling every damn night.
Nice. The great thing about me is I never listen to the features or the jingles before I go on the air because I have complete faith. This past week featured a pair of odd stories out of Germany. First, an anomaly hunter using Google Earth to look for oddities discovered what appears to be a rather sizable stone cube inexplicably hovering over a German city. No, really. Google Earth showed a large, sizable stone cube hovering over a German city. Some suggested that the curious object was a clandestine craft of an alien variety. Skeptics, on the other hand, argued that the curious cube was simply a Google Earth glitch. Later in the week, a hunter perched in a tree captured footage of a suspected big cat creeping around a German forest. The rather remarkable video prompted a police search of the area, but the mysterious feline has yet to be found. Google Earth, therefore, over Germany, saw a sizable stone cube just floating and a giant cat, like a jaguar or a tiger or a lion. And yet, in neither case, could we find anything. You know what that's like? That's like Google Maps. Google Maps will find amazing things that I'm supposed to drive around. My favorite with Google Map, I'm driving on a highway, legally, 70 miles an hour, and it tells me, for no reason, it says, get off at this exit. You must get off at this exit. I'm like, okay, I get off at the exit, and then go down this ramp. Okay, make the first left. All right. Make the first left. And I'm like, it's putting me back on the highway. There was no detour. There was nothing here. It just wanted me to practice driving. It wanted to test to see if my driving was good enough for Google Map. And gosh help it if there's a new road, especially if it's a big road on your way to grandma's house. All of a sudden, there's a new big road. It doesn't know it's there. And I'm definitely supposed to go on this no big road. It doesn't know it's there. And all of a sudden, I'm way out of my way. And it's completely confused. And then it says things like, turn left, turn left, turn. And now I'm on some side street with scary residences. You know, people who have vehicles parked on their front lawn. Google Maps. Welcome to Grandma's house. Sterling every damn Sunday.
A great way.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, JB Bakery, Salina and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
It's 10 seconds. I'm like, to what? I'm here in dead air. Okay. Steve, Selena, J.B. Bakery, let me explain. I'm Walter Sterling, and on this show, on a regular basis, I have on Steve, who is a baker. He owns a bakery, but he's actually a world-class great baker. And his head of marketing, Selena, they work together at J.B. Bakery. And then, just so we have the makings of a sitcom, there's an actual Catholic priest who hangs around the bakery and sponges off of them. He's a retired Catholic priest, so he has to come up with things to do. The problem with Father Jim Drucker is that everybody likes him. He's a wonderful man. He's kind and he's sweet, but he's like their greeter, sort of like, you know, Walmart, but not like that. Anyway, now, Selena is the head of marketing, and Father Jim Drucker. Now, Father Drucker, how did the week go? How was the week? Did you go there every day? Did you annoy them every day? How did this go?
Yeah, I've been a terrible bother to the wonderful people here, to Steve the baker.
Oh, that's good.
Hey,
that's
I'm here,
good.
Walter.
You've been cut off, Father Drucker, because as one of the greatest broadcasters who ever lived, I know that you didn't actually do anything wrong. That's the other part of Father Drucker. Before he was a Catholic priest, he was one of the greatest top 40 disc jockeys who ever lived. And if you work in radio or live in the great Northeast, you'll recognize what I'm about to say. Father Drucker was a disc jockey on freaking WARM. WARM, which was, in my opinion, the greatest top 40 station there ever was. There we go. Now, Steve the baker, one of the interesting things about your life is that you're a small businessman. You're running a business. In addition to being a great baker, you're running a great business. There's nothing harder than running a small business, a small retail business in a highly competitive area. You're at the Jersey Shore, Central Jersey, suburb of Philadelphia. Oh, my gosh, there's some competition. When you started working at this bakery, when you started running this bakery, is there one or two things you wish you had known before you started running this small business?
I wish I had known that I had to really know my product. I had to know my customer. I had to know as much as I could about my product and who I was selling it to and how things operated. Because it's very, very important when that call comes through or when the customer comes through and they want service or they want a product or they want to speak to you, it's important to be able to communicate professionally about the business, about the product. So I went in and I bought a retail store and I knew a little bit about baking and I love baking, but I didn't know everything about baking. I didn't know everything about every bakery product. And I would get calls on the phone, and people would be asking me for product. And I would say, yeah, sure, I could get that for you. But then I didn't have – I knew I could do it, but I didn't have the resources to do it. I wanted the call. I wanted to make the sale. I wanted to service my customer. So I had to outsource. I went to other bakeries, Walter. I went to other bakeries and called them and said, hey, can I have some of these? I want to buy some of these. I would make sure that I got the customer would come through my door, and I would sell them that product, and I would keep doing that until I could do it myself, until I could build up that product line, until I could get the resources to do it, until I could actually hire that person, hire the professional to meet that product, to service that customer. So I really think that that's where the fun comes in, but that's where the really hard work comes in too. And there's like this trend going on right now where people are buying small businesses from retirees, the baby boomer retirees, like different retail stores, different services like HVAC or pizza shops. They have to keep in mind that they're going to get their hands dirty. They're going to get burned, and they have to learn how to do these things. They can't just collect the money or make the sale. They have to be a salesperson, but they also have to get the skill. They don't have to know everything because they could always hire people for that. It's not good to be a one-person business. You have to get people to work in a team to get these things done because it's all about, in the end of the day, it's all about servicing the customer.
Don't disrespect the pizza parlor.
What you said is that a key skill to running a business is to be teachable. Humility. Humility means to be teachable. So you've demonstrated that you had to be teachable and accept the lessons and embrace them and incorporate them into what you do every day. Is that about right?
I was actually humiliated. Exactly. I was actually humiliated myself that I had to go to another bakery to get something, to another business to get something that wasn't my product. I wanted to get the customer, but then I was building a reputation. I wanted to build up the product line. I wanted to make that product my own and better than my competition, who was already out there servicing that customer. Because if they're calling one place, they're calling every place. They want to know where they could find what they want. Maybe that the competitor couldn't get it to them quick enough. You've got to be in front of the customer and get it quick.
Now, Father Jim Drucker, a retired Catholic priest who was the official Navy chaplain at Desert Storm, stationed in Afghanistan, and now he works at the VA hospitals. He's a captain in the Air Force. He works at the VA hospital. He helps soldiers who are recovering. Now you're at this retail business every day. Now, you happen to be a very smart man. I have never known a stupid priest. You have to be pretty smart to be a Catholic priest. And therefore, your powers of observation are good. When you watch Stephen and Selena running this small business, is there anything that has shocked you about the demands of a small business?
He is extremely aggressive in a quiet way, if that makes sense. He's constantly working. It's very hard to bother him. And I can be bothersome, as you know.
Yes.
But it's magic. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. Selena's right there as an aide to comfort him, to guide him, and to direct him. Small D, by the way. Make sure it's small D.
Yeah.
And the people flock in. I mean, incredible. And, of course, how can you not love a mom-and-pop bakery? You're looking at everything. There's all kind of look. I'm actually at the bakery tonight, believe it or not. There's creme brulee, custard Eckhart, strawberry crunched. My God, there's incredible stuff. They have cupcakes. They have cookies. They have donuts. It's I'm in heaven. It's marvelous.
Well, it's the creme brulee was calling you, Father. Is that why you're there?
It's my favorite. And Selena said, when I was away for the couple of weeks in Ohio and doing my stuff there, that she said they were over and inundated. I can't grab the word. There's too much creme brulee. So I'm back in style. I'm back in operation.
Now, Selena, we have the dilemma of Thanksgiving coming up. Now, Selena and Steve are boyfriend, girlfriend, but they're not husband, wife. The challenge of Thanksgiving is coming up. Are you going to be eating at one person's home, or are we at two separate homes? And what are you going to do about the priest?
So it's difficult because both of our families are so last minute. We've both got Jersey families. They don't plan anything until right last minute. I know it's my niece's birthday, so that complicates things a little bit because she's turning one. So I don't know what my sister's doing. I don't know what his family's doing. Everyone's going to decide probably this week what they're doing. And I'm just thinking about all the different pie flavors that I want to make. I always try new pies. It's my tradition that I bake an extra one every year. So I think I'm up to 7 pies now that I have to come up with.
Will you be dining at one place or the other with Stephen, or is he excluded?
I mean, I hope he won't be excluded. I don't think he's done anything, but, you know, I mean, the invitation hasn't come out yet, so you never know.
Now, Stephen, would you prefer to spend the holiday alone, as I would, or are you counting on an invitation to one of Selena's bloated family?
I'm all about turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy and pies. I'll eat that extra 7 pie probably all by myself. And if there's a dessert or dinner someplace else that I'm going to that I'm invited last minute, I'm going there too. Even if I work 16, 18, 24 hours during Thanksgiving, I'm all about the holidays and I'm going all in. I'm going all in for it.
I don't think there's a prayer in heck, Father, that there's going to be a marriage here if they dine separately.
Oh, my God. You're something else. You're just because off the wall something else.
Thanksgiving is a runway to marriage. Thanksgiving is a landing strip to marriage, and you're going to have to pick a terminal. You can't be in two different terminals on Thanksgiving and then expect wedded bliss. I think that's a fair statement.
But keep in mind that I actually do have the desserts. Most of the time, people want my desserts. Sometimes they bake at home and their pies fall apart. So I'm always invited.
Well, has your mother invited Selena to your place, Stephen, for Thanksgiving?
You know what? No.
No. Therefore, oh, it is still up for grabs. It is anybody's guess where Stephen, Selena, and the priest are going to wind up at Thanksgiving. This suggests to me, as an outside observer, with my POV, that nobody wants any of you.
I hope somebody wants us. I really would like to go see everybody if I can. I don't mind driving around, but yeah, my mom's got to get on the ball with this. You know, if we're having Thanksgiving dinner, apparently my sister can't have dinner. You want to know why my sister can't have dinner at her house anymore? She's got too many dogs, and my parents don't like the dog hair all over the house. And
your parents really are nice right. House. Your parents are right. There's nothing worse than yapping dogs at dinner, especially if they're under the table. If those dog people don't have the common decency to put the dog in the basement or in the backyard, they're running around under the table. I hate that, especially Amen. If it's some annoying little dog. Oh, God. But so far, we don't have a resolution as to where any of you guys are eating dinner for Thanksgiving. One more thing, and then I'm going to have to pretend to be busy. The other thing is this. I believe, Stephen, I'm tapping your expertise now. I believe there are two types of pecan pies. There's the kind your mother made and every other kind. And the kind your mother made is right. And every other kind you tolerate, you say, oh, this is very nice. I love pecan pie. But when you say you love pecan pie, what you're really saying is you love your mother's. My mother's pecan pie had three layers. Crust, which was crusty and distinct. It had a filling, which was almost 2 inches high and fluffy and light. And then a top layer of pecans, which were individually crispy. You could have a totally satisfying dessert just eating those pecans. That was my mother's. Everybody else's is like the whole thing's a half inch thick. It pulls out your fillings. They're sticky. It's like bad candy from England that's been in the box for 2 months. That's my experience, Stephen. How do you feel about this? Right?
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. My mom made the best pecan pie. I don't even think I could top it. I can't get her in the bakery to make it for everybody, so I'm just going to have to stick with hers as being the best. But be careful. Be aware there's big box stores, big pies. They look good. They look cheap. But they will pull out all of your teeth. And Father Drucker is going to stay way, way, way from these because he's got a brand new set of beautiful teeth, and I will not allow him to have that. He will definitely get a fresh baked pie from me.
Oh, what a delight that is for Father Drucker that the entire nation now knows he has new teeth. Walter M. Sterling with JB Bakery, Father Drucker, Sterling every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night.
On this week's episode of Confession of a Retired NYPD Detective, a pantless Florida car thief storms out of a porta potty wielding two wooden stakes at cops. Now, I worked in the NYPD's auto crime division for 10 years, and I've seen and heard some crazy stories with car thieves, but this thing in Florida is out of control, where a strung out, half-naked Florida man swiped a construction worker's vehicle and trying to run him over with it. Then attempted to hide from cops in a porta potty before emerging pantless and wielding two wooden stakes. I'm wondering if he was looking for Dracula. Joshua Mullenix, 43 years old, was arrested after his wild path to destruction along Florida's Cape Coral on October 27th. Mullenix, who officials said appeared to be on drugs, you think, wandered off a beach and onto private property while only wearing a pair of sweatpants. There, he started berating a construction worker and unsuccessfully tried to break into his shed, according to an arrest affidavit. He then allegedly pivoted to the construction worker's white Nissan SUV, which was unlocked and left the keys inside. Can't make it any easier than that for a car thief. Mullenix plopped into the driver's seat and aggressively accelerated towards the worker, who dove out of the way in the nick of time. From there, the suspect allegedly plowed the SUV through a property gate and wound up at another site where Lee County's sheriff's office responded to reports of a suspicious male hiding in a porta potty. Mullenix eventually emerged from the portable toilet on his own accord, but had discarded his sweatpants, a deputy said, and then they saw him fleeing on foot while wielding two wooden stakes, according to the complaint. But he went from bad to worse when he tried to break into another vehicle, but a deputy eventually had enough of this and hit him with a taser. Officers estimated Mullenix caused probably about $4,000 in property damage. He was booked into the Lee County Jail after a brief trip to the hospital. He was charged with grand theft motor vehicle, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and criminal mischief. Mullenix posted $7,500 bail on November 4th and was released from custody. His arraignment is December 8th. You know, I've seen this where guys are fleeing from a stolen car or fleeing from something, and they've already got a charge, right? And they just make matters worse. We were chasing this car thief one time. He was breaking into a car, chasing him along the Henry Hudson Parkway. And what does he do? He tries to carjack a woman who's getting her groceries out of the car. So when we finally caught this guy, we wound up charging him with the attempted stolen vehicle and then the more violent and dangerous felony, the carjacking. So if you're high on drugs, stay in your house, but I'm not recommending being high on drugs to begin with. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Behind the Blue Wall of Silence.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
And now that you're headed home from the long weekend, you realize that you really are looking forward to going back to work.
Sailing every night, lost in space. Mission control, baby shots. Baby shots.
Ian Dave Scott, an expert on metaphysics, UFOs. Guys, there's a middle, you know? You don't take it from a really hot bed to no bed. There's like a middle in there, nice and smooth. You smooth it out low, and it stays under me until it's over. Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio, spacedoutradio.com, maker of spectacular merch, information on UFOs, metaphysics, ghosts, portals. Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Number one, it is always a pleasure to be with you in the Midnight Misfits right across the United States. Thank you for having me. I hope you're having a great night.
I'm having a terrible night, Dave, but I'm such a pro that you would never know that.
Well, I'll be honest with you, too. I'm such a pro that I'm doing this sick right now.
What are your symptoms? Are they alien disease?
Probably. Maybe it was due to some sort of alien anal probing overnight. I don't know.
Well.
But I've been going since, I've been awake since 3:30 this morning. My eyes are puffy, can't stop sneezing. And for some reason, I started listening to country music today. So, I mean, you know, that's a lot of bad stuff all in about 18 hours.
Dave, did I ever share with you my vision of hell, my hellscape? Did I ever share that with you?
No.
Let me share that with you as a fellow broadcaster. My vision of hell is to go to work at a radio station at midnight, and I'm on till 6 in the morning, and it's a country station.
Oh.
And I get there, and it's a country station. And it has commercials, phone calls, contests, music, news, the whole thing, right? And I start the show, and I'm playing a song. And the song ends, and I'm supposed to start a commercial. And the commercial machine, the hard drive for that, doesn't work. And then the other hard drive it could come from doesn't work. And it looks like I'm not going to be able to play any commercials for the next 6 hours. And then I think, well, you know, let's take some phone calls, do some requests and dedications and contests and like that. And I give out the phone number, request, dedication, contests. Phones are dead. There are no phones. The phones don't work. And then, well, it's all right. We're coming up on network news. I'll hit the switch for the network news and we'll hear network news. It's down. The network's down. It doesn't work. All I'm left with for 6 hours is country records for 6 hours straight without any interruption, without any other ingredients. That is my vision of hell, Dave Scott.
Oh, that just seems like a nightmare. You know what mine is in radio? It's the exact same situation, except having to watch soccer.
That would be hell.
Yes.
That would be hell.
Very much so.
Have
Very
to do play-by-play on soccer.
Oh, it's horrible. Horrible nightmare.
Well, now that we've lived through that, those triggering images, what news have you, Mr. Scott? What news have you from space, Dave Scott?
Well, yesterday, November 15th, 1966, in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, two couples claim they encountered a towering creature between 6 and 7 feet tall with wings and eyes that glowed like bicycle reflectors. They said it had pursued their car near an abandoned World War II munitions facility called the TNT area, and this was the beginning of the Mothman legacy. In the days and weeks that followed, dozens of other residents reported sightings of the same or similar creature. Many witnesses described seeing or having a dread of electromagnetic interference accompanying their encounters. Now, here's the thing about the Mothman. The sightings continued into 1967, coinciding with a flurry of strange phenomena in the area, including UFO sightings, strange lights of the sky, and visits from alleged men in black. The Mothman mystery took a tragic and dramatic turn on December 15, 1967, when the Silver Bridge, which connected West Virginia to Ohio, suddenly collapsed, killing 46 people. Many believe the Mothman appeared as a harbinger of disaster, warning locals of impending catastrophe. Now, the Mothman story was widely publicized by journalist John Keel in his 1975 book, The Mothman Prophecies, which was later adapted into a 2002 movie starring Richard Gere. The town of Point Pleasant now celebrates the creature of the Mothman with a Mothman Museum, a Mothman statue, and the Mothman Festival, held every September, complete with speakers, costume contests, and tours of the original sighting locations. Now, Mothman has since seemed to move on from West Virginia and now moved into the greater Chicago area, where many people over the last 10 years, up to 27 sightings of this Mothman-like creature, not only flying, but sitting on top of buildings like Superman watching over the city, and including close encounters of this creature sitting on trees and on light stands as well.
Now, of the many monsters and unusual phenomena you have shared with us, Dave Scott, on your believability scale, how much do you believe in Mothman?
100%.
Why?
100%. And let me, good question. Because too many people have described the exact same thing. And what happens in the cryptid world is you get a real good sense and intuition of whether or not somebody's pulling your leg for 15 minutes of fame, or whether or not they are actually scared and telling the truth of the encounter that they've had. too many people who have given genuine encounters and stories of this thing, whether it's lately in Chicago or back in 1967 in West Point or Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The fear that they had in their eyes, the fear of evil, saying this thing was like seeing right through them. It was too coincidental. So that's why I believe it's real.
I believe you. This is the hardest one for me to believe. It's hard for me to believe that there's a giant moth on top of a building in Chicago and one or two people noticed it. Maybe not, you know, maybe if 1,000 people noticed it, I'd have a lot easier time. Is that a fair thing to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's totally fair. You know, but here's the thing. It's easy to criticize, and I'm not blaming you for this, okay? But it's easy for any skeptic out there to criticize the story without fully looking into it or a short segment like we're doing right now. But Lon Strickler from phantomsandmonsters.com, he's actually done a ton of work on this Mothman sightings, the latest round, the last decade in Chicago. And the stories that he has uncovered from people are absolutely phenomenal.
All right, this is Dave Scott. How do we hear you on the radio? How do we get in touch with you? How do we email you? I want to know everything about getting in touch with Dave Scott.
All right, info@spacedoutradio.com is my email address. Website, spacedoutradio.com. And you know what I do, Walter? I keep all of my 1,000, maybe 1,500 archives for free on any major podcast network or on YouTube for your audience to enjoy.
Dave Scott, Spaced Out Radio with Walter M. Sterling on Sterling every damn Sunday night.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night. Ah!
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
And we're here with tales of living with our 8 children in an old house. We take our kids everywhere. We pretty much do everything with them. And we learned this week that's a bit of a culture clash, I guess.
It is, and I always know it because it's always brought up in my face, but then I revert back to thinking, why isn't this normal? And once in a while, feel like an idiot because I do something where I want to involve kids, and people have to explain to me, we don't want our kids here.
This has something to do with a holiday shopping and drinking event.
Okay, but see, I didn't see it as a holiday shopping and drinking event. I was told...
Well, it's called Sip and Shop.
Okay, but that comes on the back end of this. So let's start from the beginning. I was asked by 2 women if I would let them use my venue to have a community event for Christmas. And I'm like, sure, great. That sounds great. We can have hot cocoa outside with a Santa station.
Carolers.
Carolers are going to be out there. We have this little house. It's a mini house on our property, which... The maintenance guy said, use this as a Santa house. And I'm like, this is so great. We'll do Santa. We'll do hot cocoa. We'll have carolers over here. We'll have a quartet inside the theater on the stage. And then the shopping event is inside the restaurant area, aka a sip and shop, right? So, you know, you grab a drink, you go and shop at this artisan and crafts fair right inside the building. But at the same time, on the periphery, all outside, there are all these kids events.
But then we found out, it's not really for kids. They didn't want kids there.
Right. So the word community was brought up and an outreach was brought up. What really they meant was give us an excuse to come out drinking and spend money without the rest of our family. I didn't get that until they went through weeks of communicating with me about all these fun ideas. They actually found a Santa and an elf who bought costumes to come work there. We get it all set. I make an ad to go out to the world to advertise, and I get a text message that says, this is cute and all, but we really think that we should make it known that this is not a kid event. We're nixing the Santa. Literal words that came out of the woman's mouth were, nobody wants to go have fun with their kids.
And there you have it, folks. So that's a foreign concept to us with 8 kids, but so be it. Now we know how people feel about it.
It's also a foreign concept to go out and want to drink so much that you don't want your family around while you're spending your money.
All right, so happy drunken shopping. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you want to send me your eggnog recipe, you can send it on Instagram to Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
I would be gay in a heartbeat if it didn't involve that much conversation.
Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling every damn night. On the sea or on the land, walk against the situation well in hand.
If you send me a Christmas card, I'll send one back to you because misfits need to stick together. Beryl Kravitz, Rebecca Canner, good evening, Walter M. Sterling and my Midnight Misfits. WGAN in Portland, KFBK, Kendall Aviva, KFBK, and the polls. We love the polls. What happened to the Dats, and mostly what happened to Karen O'Neill in Philadelphia? I used to hear from Karen O'Neill, a Midnight Misfit, after every show, and then one day I didn't, and I hope she's okay. Karen, I hope you're okay. And Stuart, where the heck are you, buddy? But we have lots of new friends, and I'm grateful for every Midnight Misfit. You can become an official Midnight Misfit. All you have to do is get an official Midnight Misfit membership card. Well, how do you do that, freak? How you do that is you go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and click on the Midnight Misfit. And there you'll see the Midnight Misfit membership card, which explains what a Midnight Misfit is, what you're expected to do, and it includes a decoder card. And I will give out secret messages, and you can decode them with the decoder card. That's all you have to do. It's free. No one's going to bother you. It'll ask for your email, but you will never hear from us. Why? Because we're not that organized. That would take a level of professionalism simply not available to us. Simply not available to us today. What do you want to do now? I know what I want to do now because I'm obsessed with this. Sterling every damn night. This is such a remarkable version of this song. Oh my gosh. It's called The Arctic Monkeys on Sterling every damn night.
Baby, I'm yours.
Baby, I'm yours.
And I'll be yours.
Yours until the stars fall from the sky.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Yours.
Yours until the rivers all run dry.
Baby, I'm yours.
Baby, I'm yours.
And I'll be yours,
yours until the sun no longer shines.
Yours,
yours until the poets run out of rhyme.
In other words, until the end of time.
Don't disrespect the pizza
I'm gonna
boss.
Stay right here by your side, and do my best to keep you satisfied. Nothing in the world could drive me away. Every day you'll hear me say, baby, I'm yours.
Baby, I'm yours.
And I'll be yours,
yours until 2 and 2 is 3. I'm yours.
28 past the hour, Sterling every damn night, live radio in America, across country. Look at that. I-90 isn't the luge yet, but it's coming, my friend. Lee Harvey in Maine, welcome. Deborah Burgess, Richard Lucas in Rochester, New York, Art Lutz in Georgia, Jack Taylor, Broomwell, Pennsylvania, Joe G., Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Mario in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Karen Schwartz, I got it, St. Louis, Missouri, Ted Cohen, Richboro, Pennsylvania, Carol Vale, Gloucester County, Gloucester City, New Jersey, Walter M. Sterling with the Midnight Misfits, Sterling every damn Sunday.
He's Walter Sterling, and he gives the bosses a fright, 'cause he's kinda unpredictable on Sterling every damn night.
W2RE, this is W6RRR. Good evening, Ray. You're 5'9 here in Washington. The White House itself, over.
W6RRR, W2RE.
You did a study in order to find out what you can say to your husband or your boyfriend that has the same impact on him that I love you does for women. And it turns out that it's thank you.
Yeah.
We literally just looking, and here's the key for all the women out there. It is looking at something he does, noticing something he does, and saying thank you for it, as small as it is.
Don't get what? Abolish the police? Tear down statues of Lincoln? Maybe give communism another shot? Get rid of the border patrol? Get rid of capitalism? White supremacy has never been worse? Gender is always just a social construct? It's okay to have penises in the women's swimming pool and women's prisons?
Okay,
no, it's
please.
Not that I'm old. It's that your ideas are stupid.
A masculine man will never be attracted to a controlling, critical woman. The masculine thrives on respect and appreciation for his strength, but a controlling woman undermines that. He wants an ally, a wife, not a mother figure who treats him like a child. Constant criticism erodes intimacy and connection, as his natural response to hostility is to go into defense mode. If she restricts his freedom, it creates a breakdown in love, respect, and trust. Key elements for the masculine to fulfill his God-given purpose to protect and provide for the feminine.
You know, what's fantastic is that finally in our lifetimes, there's been actual research in what it means to like to be up at this time, whether you have work or not. To stay up late, to stay up all night, is against our culture. We're viewed as freaks. The worst part is that when you and I are in work situations, the leader is always an extrovert. The person in front of the room, that's an extrovert. And what do extroverts want? They want the one thing that you and I hate. They want team players. Team players. I want team players. I will help you get the work done. I will be a great employee. I will get things done for you in my strange, eccentric way at the back of the cave. You give me that piece of meat. I'm not going to throw it in the fire in front of all of you. I'm going to take it to the back of the cave and see what can be done with this piece of meat. How can we assimilate the meat in the best ways possible? That's an introvert. The math is very simple for being an introvert, and it's impossible for extroverts to understand, because extroverts think we're being arrogant, distant, rude. We're not. You and I need to be alone, because that's how we recharge. I start my day with 10 coins. And through the day, I lose one and another. And by the end of the day, I'm out of coins. And I have to go back, go to bed, be alone. An extrovert wakes up with no coins. An extrovert has no coins. An extrovert needs to go outside, collect the coins. At the end of the day, they're in bed, They're watching TV and they've got 10 coins right next to them. That's the difference. The problem is extroverts are loud. The reason, half the reason, that I don't enjoy going to a sporting event is the volume. I can't deal with all of those guys going, ooh, 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 ooh. What is that? What, can't you just watch the game? Do you have to go, ooh, 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 ooh? Especially in Philadelphia at an Eagles game. God help you. Oh, my God. That's the difference between an introvert and an extrovert. An introvert can watch the game, totally enjoy the game, and not make one sound. Do you realize that? Hey, extrovert. I have no extroverts listening. It's safe. You and I, we can watch a game, right, and not make any noise. We don't need to put on a team uniform. My uniform's just fine. I can watch the game, enjoy the game. I don't need to put on a team uniform. And I don't need to go, ooh, 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 ooh. Right? That's the difference between an extrovert and an introvert. Did Trevor Lawrence win today? Did the Jaguars win? It's the only team I follow. They beat the crap out of the Chargers. Do you remember the score, John? 35-6. Finally, Trevor Lawrence lives up to his $28 million a year promise. Finally, he wins a game in a spectacular way, the way he used to when he was 17 and a half with Clemson and could throw 50-yard passes. That's as loud as I get about football, right there. 50-yard, that's it. I don't get any louder than that. I'd love to hear from you. It's WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Every email I get gets answered. I have a spectacular website where you can see pictures that are stunning. What? All right, they're okay. Walter Sterling Show, and that's where you get your Midnight Misfit membership card. WalterSterlingShow.com. Also there will be an address. If you send me a Christmas card, I will send you a Christmas card back. Did I say a holiday card? No. I will send you a Christmas card. I'm here every Sunday night from 10 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern. 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. Sterling every damn Sunday.
The people of Walmart Sterling every damn night.
Next time you're in the neighborhood Walmart, look around at those associates. You find an associate kind of looks like a go-getter? John Furner, he's a name you're going to be hearing a lot because he was an associate in Bentonville, Arkansas, part-timer in 1993. And today, he will be the new CEO of Walmart. A lot of times they say you can't work your way up in the company. You start and you're working as a young person, maybe in high school or college. And they go, yeah, the deck is stacked against you. The deck is stacked against you. Recently, I was in my neighborhood Walmart. I was overhearing a conversation between a couple of associates, Walmart being the largest corporation in the world. And one of the associates said, I was asked if I would be interested in going into the management training program. And I told them, no, I don't want to do that. That just sounds stressful. Managers at Walmart, they're managing multi-million dollar properties. They make big money. It's a great life. Walmart ensures a future for associates, just like John Furner, who's the new CEO. Now, this feller who said he was not going to go into management training with Walmart, he's probably headed for a life of mediocrity. Which, if that makes him happy, fine with me. But I don't want that guy to be the person that complains about the deck is stacked against him. Walmart makes sure that you have a chance to be a leader and to have a great career. Your part-time associate, likely these people are go-getters. They're out there trying to get to school, get to college, you know, save some money for a jalopy. I mean, good times. For the people of Walmart, with pride. I'm Velo Houle, Sterling every damn night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
For our first Florida story, we get down to Orlando, Florida, where in 2016, an infant was dropped at a fire station. Now, that's not that strange. There's the law in Florida and some other states where if there's an unwanted children, you can drop them off at a fire station and they'll get help for them. No questions asked. Well, almost exactly 1 year later, 2017, a baby girl was abandoned at the exact same place. And then the next year, there was another one, 2019. So 2016, 2017, 2019, a baby was dropped off in the same fashion in the same box. Someone got a smart idea at the Orlando Police Department, and they ran a DNA test on the kids. It turns out not only are they related, it is most likely that they have the exact same mother and father. But these safe haven laws, you're not supposed to like clock one every year. On the other hand, this couple's been together for like around 5 years. How does that make you feel if you're single? Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
And our final story on Florida Stories is Neptune Beach, Florida. Video from one of those Ring doorbell cameras shows three young guys breaking into a house, and seconds later, two of them run out. The other one didn't make it out because he got shot in the chest. The guy that got shot in the chest is probably going to survive. He already ratted out his two little friends. He's in custody. They probably will be soon. But these Ring doorbell cameras are incredible. You could definitely make an awesome TV show out of Ring doorbell footage from Florida alone.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my award-winning book, Disintegration. Callum only stopped pulling the trigger when he realized there was nothing left to shoot at. He lowered his gun and waited for further commands from Ro. None came. He looked around. She had returned to the outside of the hidden chamber from which they'd emerged. Her eyes were hidden behind her dark glasses, and he couldn't tell where she stared as he approached. "How are you feeling?" she asked. "Fine." "If there were other people out here, you think you could tear them to shreds?" He paused to consider the question. "Probably." "Good." She pushed herself off the ledge she'd been leaning against and climbed down into the elevator car. Callum followed her. He waited for her to activate the buttons to close the roof and send them back underground. When she didn't, he reached for the illuminated panel. She grabbed his wrist. "I didn't say we were done here." "What else do you want me to do?" Ro fiddled with the bottom of his shirt. Her fingers walked up his chest, dancing across the thin fabric separating her touch from his firm muscles. "I did always enjoy watching you move," she said. "When you get into your zone, when your body takes over." He glanced up. All he saw was the flawless blue sky, yet he was skeptical. "Here? But there's no one else around for miles and miles." She pressed against him. Droplets of sweat dotted her forehead, and her skin glistened with the lotion she had applied earlier. "Don't you want to take advantage of the fresh air while we still can?" Damn her convincing arguments. He twitched with anticipation as she kissed his neck. Sunlight illuminated the small enclosure, and he smelled the dusty aroma of the desert's rolling dunes. Her body was already warm, her skin flushed with heat. When he ducked down to capture her mouth with his, salt mingled with the sweetness of her tongue. They were sweaty, dirty, and exposed to the elements. His senses flooded with all the stimuli, and his blood raced through his veins. He grabbed her by the waist and spun around to pin her to the wall. Her hands urged him on, tugging at his clothing. Ro yanked the t-shirt off over his head. He did the same with her tank top. When he saw the jet black satin of her bra, he laughed. I thought you wore as little underwear as possible. Can't have the lab rats staring. Their heads might explode. She took his hands and pushed them against her chest. I'll be nice and save that pleasure just for you. He squeezed, digging his fingers into the pliant flesh. His palms moved easily across the smooth fabric, dampened by her perspiration. He found the clasp behind her back and jerked the shiny garment away. With the obstruction gone, his slickened skin glided across hers as he crushed her lips with another kiss. The slippery sensations sent even more energy between his legs, and Callum could feel her heart pounding beneath his. Prior events hadn't dulled her capacity to eliminate the surrounding world and draw his focus to her. His goal of plunging
email,
inside
Walter
her.
M. Sterling at Gmail. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Sterling is brought to life by these creative people. Music director Lee Harris. Technical wizard Dave Scalish. Operations Frank Canal. Sound mixers Sean Cicero, Sean Walsh, Andrew Torres. Voice actors James Parker, James Copeland, that's me, Randy Thomas, Charlie Van Dyke, Charles Van Sant, Robert Clotworthy, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Erotic Thrills Thea Landon, Class Act Jill Brooke and Matus Bumball, Baked Goods Steve and Selena JB Bakery, Quantum Physics Dave Scott, a Canadian, Ross Coulthart, an Australian, Skullduggery Vic Ferrari,